like nimitta, see, instead of trying to find out whether nimitta is paramada dhamma or so on, but it's not, see. It indicates that no one can pinpoint a moment of experiencing an object or the object itself.
Now, no matter what we call it, that's all.
It seems more helpful than making more doubt. That's just an observation.
I mean, what appears now, and then you're wondering if this is nimitta or reality.
No.
And then. Just understand nimitta and paramada dhamma the way it is. Yeah.
Another reality, another dhamma, and it can be known at that moment too, so it's conditioned.
Pakatu panisaya.
Yeah,
pakatu panisaya.
I feel like you're sitting there pushing a button every once in a while. Play the recording again.
But it is like this, Pakatu Panisaya Pachaya.
What is the longest Pachaya?
Longest Pachaya?
The word.
It's saying this natural, this is the support condition.
Of object.
Maramanu Panisaya Pachaya.
It gets longer. There can be longer.
Vat tu purecha tapasya.
Is there something like this?
Yeah. Nasya is the place where citta arises.
Sorry, what word, Ajahn? What word? Nasya.
The depending reality. Whatever is dependent on that is nisya pachya. Even the Mahabhuta Rupa, the earth, patvi is nisya pachya for the apo, techo, and vayo, because without patvi, there is no vayo, techo, vayo. And it's not just rupa, even citta and cetasika is also nisya pachya. And more than that, they arise together, so they are sahachata and anyamanya and so on. That's why when one understands one reality, one can understand dipajya too, little by little. Like almost every citta arises at the heart base, right? And the heart base arises before citta, which depends on it. So it is purecha,
Vatu
purechata nisaya pachaya. That's all in Pali. When there's understanding.
Pachaya?
I don't remember the English word for pachaya, so I use only Pali term. Yeah. Vattu first, Pattaya Vattu, Purechata arise before, and Nisaya.
Only Patisandhi Chitta arises at the same moment, produced, or not Kama produced.
Otherwise,
it's
other must be Vattu, Purechata, Nisaya. But for Patisandhi Chitta, it is Sahachata, not Purechata.
You can use Pali term if you understand. It's not wrong.
The cosmos.
I think the other way.
There is a I read it in the surveys.
Rupa, isn't it? That arises now? By post-nascence. So I don't know what kind of post-nascence condition. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. In Pali term, better what to, you know, heart base, purechata.
She's asking about post-nascence condition, not Purijata, the other one, post-nascence, when it's a condition for that which has arisen already.
So I thought I didn't understand it at all. Can you help me to ask some questions?
I've just forgotten the name in Pali of the post-nascence condition. What is the Purijata is pre-nascence condition. Post-nascence condition is, I've just forgotten the name.
Purijata?
No, post-nascence.
Pachachata.
Pachachata. So can we have an example of Pachachata?
Chitta arises at the...
Okay, like...
Pachachata is only Chitta Jetasika.
Can one say that chitta is pachajata, pachya for what? For the rupa, that pita rupa has already arisen. So the rupa, when the rupa is seen.
Yep. It is death and then death.
What would happen if that chitta didn't arise? The rupa that is, can we say, in other words, it's difficult to see that it is actually conditioning in it in any way. Because the rupa has arisen, it will last for 70 moments and it will fall away.
It seems like nothing to do with citta and jetasika at all. But since they arise together, depending on one way or another.
Okay. I think it just means that it experiences the reality that has already arisen, that's all.
Six vattu, which means the place where citta is originated.
It's a prasada rupa. It's a rupa.
Five.
So it's 17. It only
six,
arise for 17 moments of citta also. Right?
Are we talking about the vattu?
Yeah. The
there are six vattus. And the five and the heart base.
It doesn't receive the object.
No, it's rupa. Just
it has to coexist when the citta has the object of a rupa also.
In these five khandas world, the citta must arise at rupa because the eye, seeing consciousness arises at the eye.
The seeing consciousness
arises at the jakku pasada, which at that moment is jakku vattu, because citta arises there.
And all the other sampaticcanas arise at the heart base. And the heart base.
It only has to be there for one.
It's not so difficult. What was your doubt?
No doubt. Did you say you were having a discussion about visible object before, Nina?
Yes. That's right.
Do you want to?
It is so small, the visible object. And you mentioned. Before you can see it.
The prasada rupa is a rupa, so it has to coincide with the arising of the rupa that is the object. They have to exist at the same time. That's the only point I was contemplating.
But they arise just before seeing consciousness.
Yes, they have to arise before seeing consciousness. Yeah. And now I understand that not all the jittas go through that phase, so it's only
Each has its own base. But you had another question about the visible object, which is so small. You remember?
No.
And you were wondering how it can impinge when it is so tiny.
I don't have a question.
talking about how small the visible object, how small it is.
So that it can be seen.
And that it can be seen. Yes.
Yeah.
By Ajita, which is also very fast.
Very fast.
Very, very fast.
But many times it arises again and again. But we don't count.
So that everything is there at the same moment to allow.
So it's a miracle. Like Ajahn says, it's like a miracle how it comes together. By conditions. It is. Mm-hmm. He often says, there is nothing, and then there is something, and then there is nothing again. Where does it come from? By conditions. But when you think, consider it, it is a miracle. Yeah. Many miracles in life.
It comes from ignorance. There was sutta about what's the beginning of this whole samsara, and the Blessed One said it cannot be pinpointed what's the beginning, how many lifetimes the beings are in the circle, but the ignorance is the cause of this whole samsara.
It's like the one who's shot by an arrow and do not want just to take the arrow off until one knows what it's made or something like that. Vicious uses. One just better take it off before thinking about that.
But how does it help to think about visible object is so small, because when visible object appears, there's no idea of big or small.
No, we better not think. We better not think.
Can we not think?
But
better
we do.
Not. But we can do that. It depends, again, on conditions.
And we shall not complain, because we are in conditioned world, conditioned Dhamma.
And it's not only in the book. Yeah.
What was at the very beginning, you were saying something to Ajahn about monk and the yellow robe, and I think there was some comment or giving.
Yeah, I just focused.
Making an offering.
Just let it down.
I cannot tell.
It is giving.
Maybe, yeah, but then I cannot recall it at all, you know. It's just fast and it sure shall be there.
Without kusala citta, that cannot be done. Yeah. But there must be other moments of other different jittas too.
But we don't have to know which ones are the kusala ones and which ones are the others.
Jitta is not known yet as not self. Because it's beyond what one can imagine, that which arises and experience. No need of light or any environment at all, just by conditions. It's tattu, the tattu of experiencing. Whenever it arises, it experiences an object.
But we are so used to the idea that the development of the path is all about the development of kusala, and different kinds of kusala. So that's perhaps why we are so attached to the idea of wanting to know what is kusala, what is kusala, what is akusala.
To be called, just to call it, not to know it.
To develop it.
From. Just thinking?
It would be just
and
thinking.
Clinging to it.
Yeah, it's clinging. It's clinging to wanting to have more kusala.
To have more works of kusala. Because you don't know whether that is kusala moment.
You don't.
Yeah. So it's only clinging to that you take for kusala.
Right. But you kusala. Want to know whether it's kusala or not. That's also the clinging, the attachment to having more understanding.
So we can say that Lopa is cheating Dhamma.
Yes.
Yeah.
Likes very much Kusala also.
But no, yeah. Mm. If it's not Kusala, but cheats. Yeah. To be Kusala.
I appreciate what you just said, Jonathan. However, when in your book about the parami, there is much that is helpful in understanding at the level of thinking when something that maybe one thought was dana is not dana at all. It's because there's thinking about reward or how...
So wanting, just wanting to give.
Yes. So mm-hmm. There is the descriptions in the book about the parami kind of made help some understanding of how very far away the perfections are.
Again?
Oh, yes.
I'm thinking, yeah.
Well, but on any level, that it is so easy to be taking self for metta or dana or...
But just learning just for the sake of understanding, that's all. Not thinking about whether it's kusala or akusala, I or not. Just understand.
Can we distinguish between theoretical understanding of what is kusala and the fact that there will inevitably be moments of akusala and like impurities, as it were, arising on the one hand, and on the other hand, wanting to know when kusala is, when some act of kusala is being performed, wanting to know how much kusala is there and how much akusala?
Perhaps. When there is some theoretical understanding of all the things that actually make the giving imperfect or whatever, that thinking can arise at that time, and there can be some theoretical understanding of how it's not dana at that moment.
Well, it's not pure dana.
Not pure dana, right. Yes, yeah. Or pure metta.
And that's why I think I made the comment yesterday that kusala is purified by the development of understanding, mm-hmm. not by knowing the kusala moments from the akusala.
Yes.
I'm saying kusala is purified by the development of understanding rather than by knowing which is moment is kusala, which moment is akusala. That level of knowledge, which is level of samatha, the actual purification comes from development of insight. So our kusala can only be as pure as understanding has been developed so far. And the idea of having more kusala by virtue of knowing kusala from our kusala is not actually how it works.
No.
Yeah, that's as far as I can understand it. Yeah. Is that right, Nina?
The understanding conditions, but you don't have to think so much about it. Only when there are conditions that arise. In daily life, we don't think now, kusala, a lot. We don't think so much about it.
At moment of thinking, it's not moment of understanding. That citta. That's why one can see the difference between seeing and thinking, hearing and thinking.
Can you say say that when we hear the explanations about all kinds of realities, such as kusala and akusala, it can condition the understanding later on when each reality arises as kusala or akusala.
There are many, many dhammas. What can be known as it is? The word or the reality or a characteristic. For example, even we say many, many times about seeing is nama, just the word nama, and that which is seen is rupa. Does it help? By thinking the seeing is nama and visible object is rupa. But in reality, I think that it's not a matter of trying to remember the word and find out, but at moment of beginning to understand, now seeing, because they're seeing, and you will never understand it if you just keep on thinking about it all the time without beginning to understand. No, nothing else, only now, that which sees. And we don't have to pinpoint to, otherwise it's yourself again who's trying to find out where is it. So it's very subtle to know that the understanding is the understanding of a characteristic, like visible object is not the seeing. This is theoretical understanding. But at this moment of seeing, or this moment of visible object appearing, there can be the understanding of the characteristic, which are different. Because that which is seen is only that which can be seen. And that which now sees cannot be other moment. It cannot be thinking. It cannot hear. It cannot like or dislike. But at moment of seeing, just very common as usual. One come closer to understand by not forget that it is that which sees. A reality.
Another
be a characteristic of each to be known as it is. Like visible object now is known as it is because there is sound and sound cannot be heard. So by attending to different characteristics of different realities, no need to say that this one is nama and that one is rupa, because their characteristics appear as they are, as different.
Same way, for example, that characteristic of attachment appears, no need to say, well, this is akusala, etc. And the characteristic of metta appears, no need to say, this is metta. But actually, different characteristics can appear without thinking about whether it's kusala or akusala. It has its characteristic, which can appear at that moment.
Try to learn to understand a characteristic of a reality, so one can know the characteristic as that which can experience or that which cannot experience, instead of saying nama and rupa. But when it's wrong starting or beginning, one learns the word first, like seeing is nama and visible is rupa, no meaning. It's not one's own understanding of a characteristic which sees and a characteristic which is seen.
Extent of the recalled Dhamma can become an object of understanding or not at all? Only the present Dhamma or the recalled Dhamma?
It's a word, right? What does it represent? Dhamma means what?
It means realities, now.
So, Dhamma is whatever is real. It has its own characteristic.
So, for example, when we, let's say, recall of our anger yesterday, for example, at that moment the sanya is the reality. But can, when we recall the anger, there seem to be also some
sanya. Yeah.
Sanya marks. Sanya knows that now is Achan.
This is the answer for your question. When one knows, what is it? right?
Not from yesterday, yeah. But what recalls about what happens yesterday night, like now I can think about, okay, yesterday you're going on the bus and the driver didn't know. That is also in
thinking of Sanya.
To call it Sanya in order to know that it remembers. Yeah. If one does not know the word or the name Sanya, but that one, that moment one remembers, that's all.
Not just that Dharma which remembers.
Oh, not Sanya.
Bev, you probably couldn't hear that conversation, but it was about Sanya.
I heard.
Okay, so we had a brief chat the other day about Sanya and about the situation where a person cannot recollect the immediate past or can't remember familiar words, and whether that is a Sanya is functioning at that time.
Even right now.
Do you remember that?
What?
Yes. Do you remember that conversation?
Yes.
Thanks, Bob.
Yes. Yes. And I remembered the first day at Hua Hin, and we talked about Sanya. I did ask Ajahn about that same question, but I can't remember what Ajahn said.
So, not the word, but at any moment there is remember, memory. Mm-hmm. You don't have to call it Sanya, but its function is to remember all marks.
Even when we don't remember.
Yes, there is Sanya, because we know that we don't remember. See, Sanya is always there.
Yeah, I remember you said that mm-hmm. Sanya always arises. Mm-hmm. But we were talking about a situation when people have memory loss. So they're talking to you, and they can't say the word spoon. But if I said to them, spoon, they know, oh yes, that's the word I needed to use. But out of their memory, what we call memory.
When it's our memory, sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not there.
Yes.
But for memory itself, it marks each object whenever Jitta experiences that.
It's different from conventional usage of memory, you see?
I realize that Sanya is different from conventional use of memory, but I was just...
So don't take Sanya as memory, just whenever memory is there.
Mm.
You don't have to call Sanya, but it's there. That is Sanya itself.
It's just a dream that I'm in my thinking, what happens with people who don't have.
Is it ignorance?
So we talk small, then we really understand or know the reality. We can talk about Sanya and other chetasikas without understanding its characteristic. When it appears, like now, you remember who's this and that, that is Sanya already.
I thought memory is vital, not Sanya.
And what is Sanya?
Sanya is, it happened with every citta, to remember things, but it's witto, to memorize things. That's my understanding.
Sanya marks the reality which is experienced, or the object which citta experienced at that moment. But it depends on vitaka, whether you can think of it or not. But Sanya cannot think, it just can remember or marks. For example, how many things are there in your house? You have to think, see? But Sanya marks already. Otherwise, that cannot be conditioned for thinking about that particularly.
And now I do remember when I asked Ajahn that first in Hua Hin about this, she did mention vitaka.
That is thinking about it, vitaka.
Yes.
And there must be Sanya, which remembers. Yeah. So without Sanya, there cannot be vitaka.
So at that moment of like not being able to recall, just vitaka, it's touching another object instead of.
In reality, vitaka arises after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching immediately. So it's not thinking in words. It touches the object which it doesn't see.
And at that time of not recalling, still Sanya is marking its object.
Touch what should be recalled.
What should be recalled or what?